Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. The Bible doesn't condemn gays, so why are you? It's kind of interesting talking to you all. You just really kind of an amazing type of situation. Those of you that think gay is sin have this idea that you don't need to explain it. Yeah, I will probably come on air here as often as I will to try to get you to think about when you say gay is sin. When you say the Bible says, God says it. So, I mean, can you please explain to me or to anybody how you get gays into the Bible? Now, gays are in the Bible. There's about 5 positive verses. And you can get gays in the Bible by correctly identifying gays. But you're not going to get gays in the Bible by using the verse about male temple prostitutes. And you're not going to get gays in the Bible by using a verse about gang rape. And not just gang rape, it's attempted gang rape with the whole thought of killing, murdering your victim. How does this make gay sin? Somehow or another, to you, gang rape means gay is sin. I really, really want you to explain it to me. You know, I'm online a lot. I just got me a new Yahoo chat name, and you might see on this the credits, I'll try to fix that, an old email address. I now have a new email address. It's gaysforjesus, using the number 4, at gaysforjesus.com. Pretty easy, gaysforjesus at gaysforjesus.com. If you don't want to use gaysforjesus, still going to have to, but if you could also put Stables Ministries at gaysforjesus.com. Or you could come to me on Yahoo and chat with me at Pentecostal Gays for Jesus. Again, the 4 is the number 4. And tell me how you get gays in the Bible. So this program, I'm going to try to figure this out for you or try to find some sort of words that might reach you. I don't think it will because I've been trying for an awful long time, in an awful lot of ways, over all of these years, about 23 of them now, to try to find out something from you. Those of you that say gay is sin, I would really like to know. You know, I've talked, actually, personally, over 23 years. Well, actually, when I was counting numbers, these happened in just the first few years. 700,000 homophobes. Some at great length, others just a real quick, you know, you just want to say gay is sin and off you go, and others are in all different kinds of places. My program's been seen in every single country in the world, at least by one person. Yes, Gays for Jesus has been on somebody's computer, the whole program being watched, some country in every country, someplace in every country in the world. And there's a lot of wonderful persons. I've just started an outreach. I call it Stables World. It's for reaching the lost for Christ all over the world in a new kind of style. And the new kind of style doesn't mean let's turn away from the Bible or anything. No, it is the Bible. It is just that we're in a different era today, you know. There was the first days Christians. They turned the world upside down. Then you had all the way after all those first days Christians, they then had this whole period of time where it went through various stages of the church, but it was, they would never see Jesus return. No matter what predictions or what everything anybody said, no matter what the date setting and everything, simply 2,000 years was going to go by and Jesus never returned. Now we're living in a time that Jesus is going to return. And I'm not going to talk about why that I say that or why anybody is beginning to believe all this pretty strongly. But now we're in the last days, and we're getting towards the end of that period of time that we're getting right close to the time that Jesus returns. So, it's a different thing. Even way back when I accepted Jesus in 1974, lots of people pretty much got into that it's a little different. It's actually like an age change, a era change, a dispensation change. It's a period that God really moved a lot, and then he didn't move a whole lot. But sometimes he moved a little bit where it seemed like a lot in local areas. And so for some people in the past 2,000 years, it seemed like God moved a lot. But if you take the concept of the whole world, God didn't really move that much. Well, first God moved a lot because he came to earth and he started the whole thing and turned the world upside down in short order. Then he didn't move a whole lot in too many different places. Now, in the last days, he's going to move a lot everywhere, more than he's ever moved since the beginning of time. And some of the things during that first 4,000 years, God moved quite a bit. I mean, there's a possibility that the continents, as we know them, broke away very soon after the Tower of Babel. That before the Tower of Babel, it could be, according to specific Bible words, one continent. You know, they say Pangea or whatever they're at. Some people have this sort of belief, but they want it to take hundreds of millions of years, if not a billion years, for the continents to spread out. But the Bible seems to indicate by some of its Hebrew words that this happened relatively quickly, to the dismay of many scientists that just cannot accept a quick fix. But they found out that there are a lot of quick fixes to something they thought took hundreds of thousands of years, not hundreds of millions of years. And here in Washington State, we have a good example over there in the place in eastern Washington, kind of, you know, that when they figured out that some big lake broke and several times it just washed through everything and changed the landscape suddenly. Well, we're living in a particular time that a lot of people like to call the last days. But the thing about it, in all the prophecy teaching that generally is heard, there are some very important ingredients that are just missing. When I was growing up as a Christian, and that was starting at age 27, I was fascinated with the prophecy teaching. I was in the Assembly of God. We had quite a bit. And so I enjoyed listening to that, but I always, you know, I read the Old Testament and the New Testament and everything, and something just hit my gut, and I was just saying, I don't understand. I mean, it's saying this and that, but they're saying this and that. The Bible is saying something that's happened to the church. It is not happening to Israel, because it's like one of those things that it says is no-brainer. You like to say, it's so simple, gay is sin. Well, I'm saying it's so simple, I can't possibly comprehend how you can't see that the Old Testament is talking about our day, the church, not Israel. Israel is going to not know Jesus until a moment. They will know who they pierced. But we haven't got to that moment yet, so the Bible is not talking about Israel. And it's fairly clear often of talking about you guys, last days. And it's not a pretty picture. You always like to say, well, wrath is not for God's people. And we find kind of cute little verses that kind of makes it seem like we're not going to go through too much. You know, we might see the beginnings of sorrows or something. I mean, lots of people can accept that. But you know, this idea of leaving before the tribulation started in 1830 with a woman named Margaret. Later, Darby, about in 1840, enhanced this into a doctrine where today, generally, the church thinks we're not going to go through tribulation. And you got some post-tribbers or whatever thinks going to happen afterward, which is that is really amazing to figure out how they ever come up with that. Then you got some mid-tribulation tribbers that think it's going to happen in the very middle of the trip. It's going to happen in the midst, in the Middle-ish area, but it's not going to happen 3.5 years after the trip starts. It's just not. 3.5 years after the trip starts, Antichrist may be standing in the temple and saying, I'm God, now worship me as God. No longer am I just your dictator, I'm your God. And at that time, probably the mark of the beast will be, for the first time, law of the world. But you'll be here. You'll still be here after the very middle point of the tribulation. You're here for the seven trumpets, or rather, six complete trumpet blowns. You'll be here. When the angel is putting the trumpet to blow it for the seventh time, or the seventh trumpet, at that time he's going to blow it, that's when the rapture's going to take place. We're not sure of that time, but you can get to as close as 75 days in setting some sort of date for the rapture. But you can't set that 75 dates until something happens that you might not know ever happen. But when that something happens, the two witnesses are going to meet each other. When the day they meet, you can start a clock going and you can calculate to within 75 days of the rapture. Now that 75 day period is a period that's the period of time we don't know. We can know the hour in this kind of is going to be calculated to 75 days. We can know up to the 75 days because we know the church has to go through 1260 days because church, you ain't nice. You're bad little kids of God. You need spanking. You got too many cultural influences. You got too much customs. You're just so conditioned and more. You got false doctrine. You're running out teachers of men and on. You have all sorts of different things. And it's nice to have a lot of the doctrines to fit everybody's sort of need, but each of your doctrines, each of your denominations, nice to have a lot of denominations, but the problem is you hate each other. You're right, they're wrong kind of thing. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's right. Do we ever, just like scientists and various other kinds of things and all sorts of things, nobody wants to sit down. It's a competition to get Nobel Prize. What do you got to do? You compete against another person. And somebody decides which one's the best. You don't work together to see what you can come up with together. And so it takes a lot longer to do anything. And so here we are as Christians, and it's all that we could do to say we love the other denomination. It's all we could do to say we respect the other denomination, but in our own little circles, we're condemning them like crazy. You say, well, they're just almost a cult. They're totally wrong, and blah, 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 and on. We have all our little private little things that we say about other denominations, but publicly we'll say, well, they're just Christians. They just kind of, people. We're living in a different time. These kind of stuff don't hack it. You see, the rapture is something special. When you die, guess what? If you believed in Jesus and you had the basic doctrine that, the sinner's prayer, God, I believe that Jesus is your son and the only son, that he died on the cross. He's without sin, all that kind of stuff. And he paid the price for our sin, and we accept this, and we go out and tell somebody that, and we believe that he was rose on the third day. if we have this and we're dying, it really doesn't matter about your filthy rags. It really doesn't matter about your doctrine. It doesn't matter that you believe a whole bunch of stuff wrong. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter about any kind of sins that you haven't ever gave up or whatever. The conditions are not, did you give up sin? Did you quit sin? The thing is, when you accepted Jesus, you turned around and started going 180 degrees the opposite direction that you were going. You were heading towards Jesus. And sometimes with all the confusion in the world about what's right and wrong and all the various doctrines and everything like that, it's pretty confusing to figure out what's right and what's wrong. And lots of us like to say, oh, it's simple. It ain't simple. I mean, it's simple to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I mean, it's really, really, really simple to get saved. But to start to figuring out sins and stuff like that, you start getting complicated. And we got 2,000 years, and there's a lot of people. You're not just smarter than everybody that ever went before. You're not some brainy Christian that figured it all out. It was going to be figured out. It had been figured out already, and it isn't. It's always a work in progress. You're a work in progress. Don't get this idea you could figure out what sin is and what not. You just know you're a sinner. Be happy with that part about it, that you were able to recognize you're a sinner. Why do you need a list of sins or go out searching the world for sinners and condemn them? I mean, the way that you are pointing out people's sins is the way that God is forced to point out your sins, and the way you're judging other people's sin is the way you force God to judge your sin, because the way you're judging is going to be the way that you're going to be judged. And if you're going to point fingers at people's sin because that's what you decided, that sin and that sin, by however, maybe it really is sin, but it doesn't matter. What matters is God can point back to you and say, look, that's your sin. See, I guess you get to go to hell for it because you're still doing it. Probably not even getting through to you because you don't care. To you, it's simple. To you, if somebody talks like I'm talking to you, you think they've gone crazy, gone away from the Bible, or not taken any certain parts of the Bible serious. Look, I know the Bible probably a lot better than a lot of you. And I haven't turned from the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. You have to confirm everything and base everything on that. Otherwise, it's your opinion. No matter how true something is, it's your opinion. If it's not able to be explained or shown in the Bible, that can be reproduced with somebody else by looking at it. Because otherwise, you're guessing. It's so simple. Gay is simple. I can't believe you could say that. For you, gang rape is sin, and gang rape is a definition of gays. That's what it is to you. You talk about, oh, all the men came to the two angels. You say, what else do you need? And the answer is in the word all. What was going to happen here? It certainly wasn't going to be a pleasurable orgy. And we all think orgies are sin anyway. And that's basically a heterosexual behavior. Well, who cares if gays do it too? People have sexual immorality. They do sexual sins. It is the sexual immorality that's sin, not the otherwise ordinary behaviors of an orientation. If you're going to... Hey, guy, if you're going to meet some gal and you're going to start dating her and all that, and you suddenly you start falling in love, and then you set a date to get married, and you get married, you don't call that sin. You call that wonderful heterosexual love. So how does it change if gay people do that? If a guy meets another guy, they start dating, and they fall in love, and they get married. Doesn't matter your interpretation of the word married. It's the same thing that you're doing, they're doing. So why can't you compare apples with apples instead of saying, well, because one of them is a male and another is a male, we could go to Sodom and Gomorrah and say, look at all of these males. What was it, 10? Was it 5? Was it 100? Was it 1,000? Was it 10,000 men? But the verse says all the people. Then you get out the definition there in the ancient language for all the people, and that includes women. It already talks about children because it says the young. It always talks about the grandpa because it says the old. So you know you got all the males. The thing is, you got all the people. So how many people came? I always kind of thought that a heterosexual man is not going to go around and get all his co-workers or his classmates or go around the neighborhood and gather together all the men, and then you go and you kind of look around for some woman and then rape her to death, and you call this heterosexual. Some reason or other, you don't seem to think this about heterosexuals. You would say, yes, there are lots of terrible, there's a lot of you even admit that if you were talking about sexual immorality, heterosexuals are the kings and queens of that. It's so easy for you to decide what sexual immorality is in heterosexuals, but it's so easy for you to know that if a boy meets a girl and they date and fall in love and get married, you say this is how it's supposed to be. But if a gay person meets another gay person just like you met your wife, then tell me, how did you find this behavior in the Bible? Because the verses you use are not talking about that. People, we're in a different period of time. If you died in Christ, believing Jesus is the Son of God, and you go through death gates, you ain't coming back. You died. You get washed in the literal blood of Jesus, so all this filth comes off of you. If you're alive, how can you imagine for a second? The difficulty is how you can say you just get raptured. Sorry, it doesn't look that way. Being in heaven, something needs to be done with your conscience and various other types of situations. You can't, if you're not ready, your physical body isn't going to change. I don't care what you believe. And you can say, oh, that's just not the Bible. I don't care what you say. I'm telling you, there's an ingredient to the rapture. There are not going to be all that many get raptured. There's going to be quite a few. But in comparison to the numbers of Christians that are alive today, you're not going to get this many that's going to be raptured. Lots of you are going to die. Huge numbers of you are going to turn your back on Jesus. Lots of new people are going to come to Christ. The new people coming to Christ are going to hear a message that this is what I'm trying to get at. Last days Christians. There are ministers that are going to go out and they're going to turn the world right side up. The apostles turn upside down. These people will turn it right side up. And you have to go through 1260 days. I'm talking about people listening to me now. Do you want to be in this kind of a last days ministry? That you're going to step out of your role of your traditional 2,000-year church and begin to see and understand that we live in the new age? And so Christians have to be working with the concept, the idea, their last days. It's not the same people. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And people, read the King James Version. Please. Satan's counterfeit Bibles are one of the first attacks on you. Look at Westcott and Holt. You understand what I'm saying. Hey, people. See you next week.